Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Blasphemy. The word blasphemy may bring to mind modern news reports of Islamist complaints against portrayals of Muhammad. Or the word blasphemy may bring to mind fire and brimstone preaching against popular culture in days gone by. Or you may recognize the word blasphemy as the high priest's charge against Jesus in tonight's reading of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four gospel accounts. The general idea of blasphemy, speaking evil of or mocking, may be common to the news reports, the fiery preaching, and the charge in the Passion reading. But the victim of the alleged blasphemy and the accuracy of the term's use are not all the same. As we again this Lent both hear readings from the Passion and reflect on key statements or events from the readings, tonight we focus on the charge of blasphemy. As we heard in the reading, the arrested Jesus was brought to the palace of the high priest, where at least some of the Sanhedrin was assembled, looking for evidence that would warrant their putting Jesus to death. But even their false witnesses did not agree in their distortion of what in this past Sunday's gospel reading we heard Jesus say about his raising up the temple of his body. And still, Jesus remained silent until the high priest put to Jesus a direct question about his identity as the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus' dramatic answer publicly confessed that he was God and that he would be seen as such and judge as God those who were standing in judgment over him. As St. Matthew and St. Mark vividly report, the high priest called Jesus' answer blasphemy, and those assembled agreed that he deserved death, which is the penalty the Old Testament gives for blasphemy. And yet they themselves arguably committed blasphemy by accusing Jesus of it. What about us? Do we, as the high priest and members of the Jewish council did, speak evil of or even doubt Jesus' claim to be the Messiah? Do we, as some of them went on to do, mock his divine gifts? How do we speak evil of or mock God, his name, his word, or those who bear his word? How do we maybe tolerate or tacitly approve of blasphemy around us in the world? As we Lutherans believe, teach, and confess about blasphemy, we usually do so under the heading of the second commandment, that not to misuse the name of the Lord our God by cursing by his name, such as blaspheming God by speaking evil of him or mocking by him. And also, as we speak about blasphemy, we also do so under the heading of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, that to hallow or make holy the name of the Lord, not profaning it by teaching other than God's word teaches, or by living other than God's word teaches. Do you and I live or teach other than God's word teaches? Of course we do. For we are sinful by nature, and our sinful nature clings to us, even us who believe. Especially as we defile our flesh, we commit a kind of blasphemy. Such blasphemy, like all sins, warrants death now, and eternal separation from God in the torment of hell for eternity. In tonight's office hymn, we even called on the Lord to preserve his honor and so to smite the bold blasphemer. Yet in tonight's psalm, we also confessed that our iniquities had gone over our heads and were too heavy for us. We confessed our iniquities and said we were sorry for our sins. We called on the Lord for help and identified him as our salvation. When we so turn in sorrow from our sins, trust God to forgive our sins, and want to do better, then God indeed forgives our sins, our sinful natures, and whatever actual sins we have committed, including our various sins of blasphemy. God the Father forgives us for the sake of his Son, Jesus. As we sang in the opening hymn, often have Jesus' eyes offended, gazed upon the sinner's fall, and yet upon the cross extended, he has borne the pain of all. As Jesus, true God in human flesh, humbled himself to death on the cross, he endured even more blasphemy, both from one of the thieves who were crucified with him and from those who passed by. And yet out of his great love and mercy, Jesus endured that blasphemy and all such trials for us in order to save us from our sins. On the cross, Jesus suffered the separation from God that we deserve. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins that we are unable to pay. On the cross, Jesus reconciled us to God. So as we repent and believe in Jesus, God the Father forgives our sin for Jesus' sake. One day during his earthly ministry, Jesus forgave the sins of a paralyzed man who was brought to him. And the Jewish leaders who were present silently accused Jesus of blasphemy. For as in tonight's reading, they thought that he was wrongly assuming the prerogatives of God. And yet, as Jesus made clear, by not only forgiving but also healing that man, Jesus forgave sins as God. And as the crowd understood, by the end of the incident, God had given the authority to forgive sins to other men too, namely to those in the office of the holy ministry. And forgive sins they do, whether by the word of preaching, by the word with water and holy baptism, by the word of individual holy absolution, or by the word with bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar. As those in whom the Holy Spirit has created and nourished faith through the word and sacraments, baptized, absolved, and sustained with the supper, we are children of God, who, as we will sing in the closing hymn, ultimately will meet no harm. Not as in modern news reports of portrayals of Muhammad, but more as in past preaching against popular culture, as the Jews blasphemed against Jesus Christ, so the sinful and unbelieving world around us will blaspheme, will mock and speak evil against us and all who follow Jesus Christ. And we who still sin, even as we believe, take care that we do not in the end consciously and wickedly reject and blaspheme the gracious and saving truth that we are currently convinced of. For then we ourselves would be guilty of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, the so-called unforgivable sin. Unforgivable, because those who are opposed to God's forgiveness are by that opposition excluded from it. Now, those who have committed that particular sin usually are not concerned about it, while those who have not committed it are more likely unnecessarily to torture themselves about it. but instead of that, torture. By God's mercy and grace, by His Holy Spirit, we turn our heart, mind, and thoughts wholly to the absolutely universal and the absolutely free grace of God in Christ, which is revealed in Scripture clearer than the sun. Although lately in East Texas, we might wonder about the sun. By turning our heart, mind, and thoughts wholly to that truth revealed in Scripture, we have peace and joy, both now and for eternity.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.